It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station.
It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump.
Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown!
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible!
Over the point.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is going to be huge.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Just when I think you said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
Out of my dreams.
Yeah, we're taking you home on a Tuesday, kind of a rainy, gray Tuesday. It's the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Adam Lundy, and you're always connected on our Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. Questions, comments, or suggestions, let us know what's on your mind, anything that you might want to add to the show. We love to hear from our listeners. Go ahead and text us at 46862. Okay, Adam, you threw the big tease at us, so we've got to get the news. What's happening with the Indianapolis Colts?
All right. Well, free agent safety Julian Blackman is re-signing with the Colts on a one-year deal.
Oh, that's some breaking news right there, that Julian Blackman is back after he tested the free agency waters and found the market wasn't all that hot for Julian Blackman. I think the injuries probably scared some teams away. But Julian Blackman, I think, is kind of an important player for the Colts because they were desperate at safety. So
absolutely. He comes off a career season with 4 interceptions, 5 tackles for loss, and 8 PBUs. So
he's a guy that can help both in the run game and pass game.
Yeah.
But the only problem is he's got to be able to stay on the field and not be injured, not be on the sideline. So I think that's good news for the Colts.
Yeah, and he's only 25. Jordan Schultz here reporting that he fielded interest from several teams, which we heard about, the Bills and the 49ers. But he says he wanted to run it back in Indy.
All right. Well, good.
Welcome back. Yeah.
Yep, Julian Blackman back as an Indianapolis Colt. All right, so it is Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia Day. Now, coming up in a few, we're going to be talking to John Nolan from the Tin Caps. A lot of things happening. In fact, some changes to this week's schedule that we're going to be talking about with John Nolan coming up at 5:20. But, of course, on Tuesdays, you know what that means. We play Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia, a chance for you to pick up a pizza from Pizza Hut. It's a large pizza on a pizza card from your hometown Fort Wayne Pizza Hut restaurants. And if you'd like to be today's contestant, you've got to call us up. And we are taking caller number 2. Yes, caller number 2 at 260-447-8500. All right, I got to tell you this story that just came down the pipeline about the Newfoundland Growlers of the ECHL. The ECHL announced today that the league's Board of Governors has voted to terminate the membership of the Newfoundland Growlers effective immediately for failure to fulfill its obligations under the ECHL bylaws. Do not fail to pay the league for your membership rights. Anyway, we are saddened to lose the ECHL hockey in the Newfoundland market, ECHL Commissioner Ryan Craylin said. The ECHL and Professional Hockey Players Association have agreed that as per the ECHL, PHPA collective bargaining agreement, all ECHL contracted players on Newfoundland roster are unrestricted free agents. Could the Comets be getting some help for this final 2-week stretch where they've got to win almost every game to get into the playoffs?
Possibly. I think I saw that every team can sign up to 2 players.
Yep.
Awesome. From the Growlers.
Yep. They can sign 2 players. Any player from the pool of players that are available who signs and finishes the season with a new ECHL member for the balance of this season is ineligible for the protected list, and then they shall become an unrestricted free agent at the conclusion of the season. So basically, for the Comets, it's a chance to get a short-term rental. You got somebody that you think can be immediate help, can come in and change the game. Well, now's the chance. And I know nothing about Newfoundland's roster. I don't even know if the Comets, I don't think the Comets played Newfoundland this year.
I don't think so.
You know, the one thing is the Comets could save them from that awful weather they've got Newfoundland. But that big breaking news out of the ECHL this afternoon. We ready to play some Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia?
We sure are. We got Joe on the line today.
Hey, all right. Hey, Joe, how are you?
Good, sir. And you?
Doing quite well. You know how to play, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, then we don't even have to waste time on rules or anything. We just go ahead and hit the sounder. Let's go.
It's time for Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia on the Sports Rush.
All right, let me get my clues here. All right. Going with clue number one here. The Giro d'Italia cycling race was won by Eugeni Berzin of Russia in this year, guys.
Your entire body actually went into some kind of an accent there. You were like doing this almost a worm type move.
Little Italian there.
A little Italian there. All right. I have no idea what the question even was. I was too distracted by your body language. But Joe, it is your choice to play or pass.
I will try 1992.
I would make you repeat the question just so I could watch you go into that body gyration again, but I won't. I'll say, I don't even know what the question was about. I'll say 2001.
All right, question number two. This will be Brett first. This year's Field Hockey Men's World Cup winner was Pakistan, Brett.
Pakistan, field hockey.
And they won it, Men's World Cup, in this year.
I did not know Pakistan even had a field hockey.
Now you know. Little Pakistani field hockey, man.
Does America have field hockey?
That's a good question, but that's not today's question.
No, today's question is about Pakistan. I will say 2003. Joe, what do you got?
How about 94?
What?
Yep, it's 1994.
What? With those two clues?
Yes, sir. This year's Fields Men's World Cup winner was Pakistan in 1994.
I've got the only guy from the Middle East who's joined us on the program.
Joe,
where are you from?
Fort Wayne.
Oh, of course he is.
Fort Wayne, Pakistan.
Of course he is. Now, now he's got to be a cheater.
That makes me 4-1 against you.
Oh, man.
All right. Do we have his number? Let's block that. Let's block that number. 4-1's good enough. Man, oh, man.
Good win.
He's got like a quarter of the wins all time against me.
He's going on a Final Four run here against you.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty impressive run. Adam, I know you'd like to give us the rest of your clues that you've worked so hard to collect. So go ahead and give us some clues.
Yeah, sure. So
since I was clueless.
Clue number three, the NHL locked out its players and the regular season was put on hold for the next 3.5 months. And the season began under a 48-game schedule in October of this year.
I would have at least been into the right decade. I don't know that I'd have gotten the right year, but I'd have been in the ballpark.
Tiger Woods becomes the youngest man ever to win the U.S. Amateur at 18 in this year.
Again, I'd have been within a year because I knew like 97 was when he started winning professional events. So
yep. And the NCAA men's basketball tournament for the past season was won by the University of Arkansas, defeating Duke University 76-72. A top 10 song from this year.
Yes.
Hero by Mariah Carey.
Okay. And then a hero comes along.
Yeah.
All right, Joe, do you want to sing for us? We got time.
No, sir.
No? Okay.
All right.
No.
Hang on the line.
We would have made Joe 4-2 too if he tried to outsing me. All right, Joe, congrats. Stay on the line. We're going to get some info from you, and Adam's going to connect you with that large pizza. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, we really do have to block Joe from this game.
4-1, man.
How has he gone 4? And how did he get that?
That's crazy.
Does he have an assistant? Does he have like
a fact checker?
Maybe he's got one of those Google things or whatever that when you give the clue, it tells him the year.
I will give him credit. He was in the 90s on the first guess, so he was in the ballpark.
He was in the neighborhood. I give it to him. All right. Well, Joe is our winner today. Don't forget, every Tuesday, you've got a chance to play some Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia right here on 1380 The Fan, 100.9 FM. Coming up next, yeah, despite a little rain today, it is baseball season, and we'll talk about the Tin Caps, their roster, and a couple of special events happening out of Parkview Field, including tomorrow night. It's coming up with John Nolan, Tin Caps media relations guru and broadcaster. He's on the show as our guest right after the break. This is the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. We're trying to get all the rain out of the way before we have that solar eclipse coming up on Monday. Adam, are you going to be down in Decatur? I think that's about the closest point we can go to see the full eclipse.
No, I'll take the partial.
I don't know what it's going to mean for us.
I don't know.
We're like just outside the actual line. Is it going to be like 90% dark? I mean, I don't know, you know.
I'm no you're the resident amateur meteorologist here, Brett.
I still hear in the background. I still hear Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia music playing. I don't need to be reminded that Joe is 4-1 against me, Adam.
You don't?
Yeah, you just want to keep playing that music to rub it in because I got beat today.
Da-da-da-da-da.
It's not a good day. All right, let's get to the phone line because our next guest you're going to be hearing plenty of during the summer months. Of course, he begins his sixth or seventh year as the Tin Caps broadcaster. Working in media relations with the Tin Caps. It is John Nolan who joins us right now on the guest line. John, get me straight. Six, seven, how many years has it been?
Yeah, it sounds right, Brett. Thanks for having me on. Once you go past counting on one hand, what's it matter, right?
Been around for a while. He is the voice of the Tin Caps and also joining us to talk a little bit about this Tin Caps roster and some of the special events that are coming up this week. First of all, I joked earlier in the show today, John, that your job got a lot easier by the Padres giving you a lineup that features a lot of players that we already have the bios on.
Yeah, seriously. So entering opening day here, 30 players on the roster, 23 of them have come through Parkview Field before. Now, granted, some of those, they were here for literally a homestand or maybe even less than that, but we've got at least some familiarity with them. And yeah, my job of being the play-by-play guy and trying to, you know more or less everything about their personal lives, what the Chipotle order is, all that kind of stuff, every detail we can gather, we get to be a little bit ahead of the game here this season, which is certainly nice. But no, in all seriousness, hey, the core part of this team, they were winners late in the season last year, getting us into the playoffs, and you know, better yet, just a lot of high character guys. And you know, the fact that they have experience here means that, after so many years, we annually seem to have the youngest team in the league. We haven't seen all the rosters of our opponents yet, but I'm going to guess that we are not the youngest team in the league here this season. Plenty of guys who've got some college seasoning here as well. And, just a few days in, it's been a really professional group to work with. We had the team media day, so to speak, and everyone's pictures taken and whatnot. And the team's had some workouts on the field, and we've had some interview requests from some local media. And, yeah, wow. And they've really made my job easy thanks to their professionalism and fun energy, too. I mean, hey, it'd be easier for guys who just came from spending the last month or so in Arizona in, mostly sun and pretty warm weather, to be easy for them to kind of be griping and complaining about being here in Fort Wayne this week with the weather that we're having. But, credit to them. I've been hearing guys saying, like, oh, it was worse when we were here, at some point in the past. So I appreciate the positivity, too. And I think it's, everyone's optimistic going into opening day, right? Maybe even White Sox fans, but I think hopefully there's something to it here.
Yeah, it's always kind of funny when you get into a springtime game and maybe in April in the evening, you might get a few snowflakes that fall out of the sky. And for a number of players in past years, seeing snow for the first time where they've been a Tin Cap.
Yeah, literally, because not even for players coming internationally from Latin America, but reality is, I think about the majority of professional baseball players are hailing from Florida and Southern California and Texas, where they're just not acclimated to seeing it. And so at least we've got here a handful of guys who did grow up in cold weather states. And on top of that, yeah, guys just who've been here before. And, you know, you got to have a little bit of grit to play in the Midwest League in April.
One guy that does pull the average age down considerably is Ethan Salas. We saw him for a series here at Parkview Field a year ago, and then he moved up to Double A. Wasn't sure he would make the trip back to Fort Wayne, but he's on the opening day roster and starting the season right here as a tin cap.
Yeah, so, Brett, we're talking about the literally top-rated catching prospect in all of baseball. Not the top Padres catching prospect. We're talking about the top catching prospect in all of baseball. And granted, you don't really want to put undue pressure on a 17-year-old. But scouts think that, you know, Ethan is not only projecting to one day make it to the major leagues, but basically to be an all-star. And, you know, we're pulling for him and hope that comes to fruition. But reality is, for the time being, he's got to put in work as he's been doing and continue to develop. And so he's, you know, really on the accelerated course. The fact that he had made it up here last year and he had some time in Double A was incredible in itself. He had a little experience in Major League spring training for the Padres last month. So remarkable talent. But, you know, again, when I talk about this whole team's been easy to work with, you know, heck, we can all probably, you know, in our own families or friends or whatnot, or think back to our own times as teenagers. You know, the best player on the varsity baseball team might be a little bit cocky, right? and not to say that Ethan's short in confidence, but, you know, he just blends in with the rest of the team here, even if he got a signing bonus for more than everybody else and, you know, has, you know, all this attention to him, you know, MLB posting about him, the MLB, not minor league baseball, MLB posting about him on social media and stuff like that, you know, humble and just fitting in with the rest of the team. So, yeah, we're here in Fort Wayne lucky to have a talent like him and the chance to see him here at Parkview Field with tickets starting at $7. We'll talk in a moment. Tomorrow night, meet the team night, free events. You can get Ethan's autograph. You can get everyone on the team autograph. And over the years, you know, I know, Brett, you do an incredible job of helping to cover this and help fans understand this and get the context. I mean, from Fernando Tatis Jr. to Trey Turner to last year Jackson Merrill, we have had an inordinate number of big-time prospects come through here in Fort Wayne. Really lucky that that's been the case, not to mention the prospects on the other side, Mike Trout, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., the list goes on. But, yeah, Ethan Salas figures to be you know, in that conversation of names.
I mentioned this earlier in the show, John, that now that the tin caps are high A, I mean, it's a subtle change for most fans, but it's a big change organizationally because it gets you much closer to the major league level. And what we're seeing now is it's not out of the question that we could see them in Parkview Field one year and Petco Park the next year. We're seeing it with multiple players this season.
Yeah, practically like 1 month to the next, at least in terms of season-wise, right? Because Graham Pauly was playing for us in the second half of August last year, and then he made the opening day roster here for the Padres. And, yeah, this is probably like another full-on conversation for a different time, but just the development process for baseball players these days, and especially coming out of the pandemic, like another wrinkle, too, in some cases where some of these guys maybe went to some degree, like under the radar, but yeah, different era here all of a sudden, and not to mention the Padres right now being pretty committed to at this point right now, like homegrown talent. So pretty awesome. You know, it's fun for us. I mean, again, Jackson and Graham were playing for us last summer. Like we started this conversation with, most of our team now going into this year was here last year. So it's so cool to see how these guys are pulling for him. And, you know, talking to Kai Murphy, an outfielder that we have this year, who we had last year. And, you know, Kai, you know, he's had a group text message with Jackson and Graham going back to when they were playing together since they all entered professional baseball around the same time. And, you know, now all of a sudden the group text message is, you know, featuring conversations about hitting home runs in big league games for those guys. And, yeah, it's really cool because this can be super competitive, right? In a way, teammates at state in the minor leagues are to some degree jostling with each other for positioning to make it to the big leagues. But I actually think it's pretty encouraging to see the camaraderie that you can witness throughout this Tin Caps clubhouse, throughout the Padres organization, and that these guys genuinely are pulling for each other. And it's a mark of like a positive organization, that these guys are just genuinely happy and excited to see each other succeeding. And, you know, hopeful here that we see it, that translate to what we get to watch at Parkview Field with a group of prospects with the Tin Caps here, where, again, at least they're saying the right things right now, where these guys are, like, really committed to playing winning baseball and not really getting caught up in their own numbers, which some can fall victim to of in minor league baseball, but committed to playing winning baseball here.
John Nolan from the Tin Caps joining us here on the Sports Rush. All right, let's talk about tomorrow night, because I had mentioned earlier that I thought this was as important a time for you to get out and get to not only Tin Caps events like Meet the Team, but also to get your tickets, whether they're season tickets or you just buy as many games as you can get to, because we now have tangible evidence that these guys are very close to having impacts at the major league level. This roster, I think, has no exception to that. There's some big names on it. But tomorrow night, a little bit of a change to the original schedule. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so annual Meet the Team Night free event, scheduled to start at 5 o'clock. Now, the original schedule at 5 o'clock was going to be fans able to come into the ballpark and watch the players work out on the field. But now, due to the weather forecast for tomorrow night, fans will not be able to see the players work out. So instead, starting at 5 o'clock, it'll be a free autograph session. The entire roster of players and coaches will sign autographs from 5 to 6. So a little bit of a smaller window, but hey, grateful that everyone's cooperating here to still have this event. I've seen other teams that actually just flat out canceled their Meet the Team Night due to the weather forecast. But in this case, it'll be 5 to 6. And hey, if you can't make it tomorrow night from 5 to 6, good news is, once again, we will have Sunday postgame autographs presented by Midwest Box Break, where in a similar fashion, you can get the entire team's autographs in one swoop. It's only one autograph per person, per player, but as it should be, because no one needs to get multiple autographs of a single guy. So yeah, cool event. We'll have the team store open. The ticket office will be open. Concessions will be on sale. So 5 to 6 tomorrow night. That's Wednesday, April 3rd. And yeah, as you said, just to wrap up that conversation about the quick movement of guys, at this point, a lot of prospects don't go to AAA. So here at the high A level, we're kind of two steps away from the big leagues. Guys go to double A, and then they go to the big leagues. So, yeah, pretty close going from the 260 to the show.
And coming up Saturday, for fans that haven't experienced the full ballpark experience at Parkview Field, there's also an open house.
Yeah, so the team's going to be starting the season on the road up in Midland, Michigan, against the Dodgers affiliate, the Great Lakes Loons, starting Friday night. So the team's not in town on Saturday, but from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., again, free event, open house. Again, the ticket office will be open, team store will be open, concessions will be 50% off on Saturday. And yeah, it's a chance, if you haven't gotten a full ballpark tour yet for free, you can go up to the suite level, you can get down to the team's dugout, you can go out to those areas in the outfield like the U.S. Foods 400 Club and the Summit. So a pretty otherwise exclusive areas. Free access on Saturday from 11 to 1.
And, John, I think that Mother Nature is just putting a dress rehearsal on Keith Winter to see how that new field handles the water. What's it look like so far?
Yeah, I mean, thankfully, the field, as it had previously, continues to drain really well. And, yeah, for those of us like myself here who have gotten busy this time of year gearing up for the season and maybe kind of cut the going to the gym out of the routine, we're making up for that with tarp poles here times a day. And so tarp currently on the field, but we'll take it off for tomorrow, and you know, back and forth it goes. But yeah, this field had the $1 million renovation to meet the new MLB specifications. And yeah, it's great. I'm talking with some of the players again who returned and knew what it was like before coming back. You know, they said, wow, I didn't think it could be any better, but just has like a better feel for them and helps them perform even a little bit better and safer. So grateful to have Parkview Field continuing to improve in its overall quality here in its 15th season.
The home opener comes up on Tuesday. What should fans know about the home opener coming up on April 9th?
Yeah, 6:35 first pitch against the Guardians-affiliated Lake County Captains. As I mentioned, tickets start at just $7, and it'll be just jumping right into the regular season of amazing promotions, like on Tuesdays, $2 concessions. What an amazing value that you continue to have here, again, a decade and a half into Parkview Field's run, where you see guys who are a year or less away from being in the big leagues, and you can do it all with just like a $10 bill.
Are there any new rules that we're going to see take effect this year? I know they've sometimes implemented some rules that they've tested at the minor league level. Is there anything that was decided during the winter that will be introduced this year?
That's a great question. And, yeah, the last couple of years, we've obviously had some pretty significant ones, most notably with the pitch clock speeding up the pace of play, even things like the size of the bases increasing here in the last couple of years. To be candid with you, on my to-do list, I do have a memo that spells out a few rule changes, but I put it on the back burner because I was told that these are really minor things. I think they might have, like, changed the number of mound visits that teams have for this year, which was already more than the major league. So Nothing that I'm anticipating a fan would pick up on coming out to the ballpark. I mean, it's the continuation of the pitch clock, the continuation of the bigger bases, as those have even been adopted by the major leagues. But nothing, quote-unquote, radical this year. You know, we'll see if the automated ball strike system is being used at some of the other levels in minor league baseball, but not here yet in 2024.
All right, John, the most important question I've got for you to let you go is national champion. Who have you got in the final four to win it all?
Boiler, the heck up. Come on. It's been a lot of fun here supporting the Boilers and pulling for them.
I thought maybe you'd go with that old Big East rival, you know. I thought maybe. But you don't have the heart to do it.
No. Unfortunately, you know, as a Syracuse supporter, probably took too many L's versus UConn over the years. So I will say Danny Hurley is a fellow Jersey guy, so, you know, respect what he's doing. They've been awesome. But, I mean, my heart is pulling for Purdue just, you know, as a local supporter here. But on top of that, I mean, my wallet maybe would benefit if Purdue can hang on here in a couple of spots.
Got a little something riding on it. All right, John, we'll let you go. We don't want to hear anything more. Have a great evening, and we'll look forward to running into you here soon.
Yeah, again, 5 to 6 now for autographs at Parkview Field for Meet the Team night tomorrow. But thanks, Brett. Look forward to seeing you and Adam and everyone else over here at the ballpark soon.
Yep, that is John Nolan joining us from Parkview Field, where the Tin Caps do have their Meet the Team night coming up tomorrow. And as he said, an adjustment to the timeline, 5 to 6 to get your autographs at Parkview Field tomorrow.
Yeah, but credit to the players for still, like he said, you know, a lot of teams canceled their entire Meet the Team night. Credit to the guys for sticking it out through the rain and signing some autographs for the fans.
Yep, that'll be tomorrow night at Parkview Field. We'll take a break and we'll come back. It is the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Countdown to the Final Four happening this week here on the Sports Rush. I'll tell you what, I do like this matchup for the Purdue Boilermakers against North Carolina State. I think that Purdue matches up extremely well. Because North Carolina State, of course, we all know about DJ Burns, 6'9", listed at 275 on the roster, might touch 300 on the actual scale. But big DJ Burns, the big man. If you have Zach Edey matching up with Burns, and I think he takes a lot of what Burns does away. Burns does not have a lot of jump, hook, and shots that go over the top of a taller defender.
No, I think what they'll have to look out for is Burns making some of those quality passes that he's made when he's being guarded by E.
But then again, I don't think you have to double him. So
no.
It's not going to leave somebody else open. I like that matchup. I favor Purdue in that matchup. The thing Edie's got to be careful about is he doesn't reach and try to block shots and get caught with a silly foul or two. Diarra, he's 6'10", 215, tall, slender, and I think he matches up almost identical to Trey Kaufman Wren. And so I think that matchup is perfect. McConnell, 6'2", 195. I think Lawyer can handle McConnell. Primarily a distributor. I mean, you could probably put Braden Smith, but I think in the three guard situation, and that's what you've got with, because remember, Purdue has three shorter guards. I mean, Lawyer is like 6'4". Braden Smith and Lance Jones, I think they're around 6 foot, 6'1". And so Purdue doesn't necessarily have a lot of size in their three-guard alignment. And either does North Carolina State, which is why I like this matchup, because North Carolina State has 6'2", 6'1", and 6'3". And I don't care which one of the guards matches which one of the guards. I put Lawyer on McConnell. I put Lance Jones on DJ Horn. And I put Smith on Marcel. But you could interchange any of those, and I'd be fine with it. But the idea is 6'2", 6'1", 6'3", matches up real well with 6'4", 6'1", 6'. So I think this is a great matchup for Purdue. And in that case, I like the coaching. I like the determination, fundamentals, and talent, all to favor the Boilermakers. I like Purdue against North Carolina State, and I don't think it should be that close. I think it should be a double-digit win, 10, 12 points for the Purdue Boilermakers.
Yeah, but then here we go. You know, the fans start to get concerned when Purdue plays a team that they should quote-unquote beat. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, one of the things is you can't let North Carolina State force you into turnovers and build confidence, because that's a group right now that's riding the confidence of a 9-game winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't want them to have any chance at confidence. You want to come out, make a statement early, and try to then hold on. And I think that's a lot of what you're going to get.
Right. Here's something interesting. The line for this game opened at Boilermakers at -9.5. And you would think it would actually maybe go up, but it's actually gone down. It's now
9.5 is a lot of points in a Final Four game.
Purdue's now -8.5.
I'm not shocked by that because, again, it's a Final Four game. Look at what we've had in past years and look at some of the results. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of close games in the Final Four. And I think the thought is nobody's running away and hiding from these teams. Although UConn is probably, a 7 or 8 point favorite against Alabama.
I'll check here for you.
I would give them at least 6.5 or 7.5.
11.5.
Really?
Yeah. Connecticut.
Golly, that's a big number.
Especially for a team that can get hot and shoot threes.
I mean, in many cases, Vegas thinks these games will be among the easiest that UConn and Purdue has faced so far.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862.
We just got a text. Somebody said that Painter needs to go big and have Trey Kaufman red guard Burns to keep Edie out of trouble.
You know, I guess the question, Diarra is very active. He's very athletic, very active. Where Burns is very predictable. I mean, he likes to have that move where he turns over the right shoulder to get the left-handed shot. And so I almost feel like the safer matchup for Edie is going to be against DJ Burns, even though Burns may be a bigger scorer. But Diarra, to me, is a little bit more athletic and agile and quicker. And I think you need Trey Kaufman-Wren in that matchup, or that Edie could get caught out of position. And if Edie's body bumps into somebody when he's not the one in position, you could see a foul called.
Yeah.
I understand what they're saying is don't put your best player on their best player. But in this case, their best player isn't necessarily a slasher and a dasher that gets to the glass. He's more of a methodical thud, you know, down in the low block.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, a little bit of a fake over the left shoulder, turn to the right shoulder. I'm sticking with Edie until the situation presents itself that I've got to make a change.
I agree.
46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. By the way, we've got Bracket Bash still going on. And as expected, I was crushed on the first weekend. Because I took my gambles in the first games.
Yep.
Okay, where the points aren't as significant. And I thought if there's going to be upsets, I'll take them early. And then I'll only get the teams that get the upset wins. I won't advance them very far. So by the third round, I had kind of caught up. Now I'm actually making my move. I'm up in the top third percentile after I was in like the bottom 20 percentile.
Nice. Yeah.
So I made a significant move in our bracket bash. Now on my other brackets. Yeah, uh-huh. I got other brackets. No integrity here. but I have bracket 1, 2, and 3.
Nice.
Number one was my actual picks.
Yep.
Number two was my wild cards. In other words, I went crazy on the second bracket.
Mm-hmm.
I picked a ton of upsets, and some of those upsets to advance deep in the tournament.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm off. I'm gone out of that Okay, FAU's not making a return to the Final Four.
No.
My third bracket is actually our listeners' bracket.
Okay.
Okay, and in ranking, my number one bracket is ahead. Number two, or in second place, is the number three, which is the listeners. And then my other wild card bracket just failed miserably. But I've still got a chance because I've got Purdue and UConn both in the Final Four, and I've got Purdue and UConn meeting in the championship game. And on that bracket, I have Purdue winning the national title.
Awesome. Yeah, my bracket, not worth mentioning. I have one of the four teams in the Final Four. That's UConn. And I also had Baylor, Houston, and Creighton in my Final Four. So there you go.
Well, my second chance bracket went bust on the first day.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Was that North Carolina State and Alabama?
Probably.
Yeah, I think I lost both those. I was done pretty quickly on the second chance bracket. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line. 46862. So last night, Caitlin Clark showed why she is not only the most dominant player in women's basketball, maybe the most dominant player in all of basketball. I think if you look at the men's tournament versus the women's tournament, Zach Edey is the star of the show of the NCAA tournament so far.
Absolutely.
DJ Burns is probably a close second.
He's like the Cinderella star.
And I think maybe the third most popular player to come out of the tournament might still be Jack Golke, who had one big game.
Buffalo Wild Wing.
My gosh, the guy's cashed in on NIL deal after NIL deal.
Yeah, credit to him.
You know, they beat Kentucky, and it's like he became an international superstar. But when you look at the women's side, it's undisputed. Caitlin Clark has just dominated not only the tournament, but dominated television sets and international social media, et cetera.
Yeah, but, you know, people are concerned about the future of the women's college game with Caitlin Clark departing. But we saw some other good performances, too. Shout out to Juju at USC. She was lighting it up.
Yeah, the game has advanced so much, and there's so many more talented players.
There'll be a new star.
Oh, there'll be a new star. There'll be someone else. I mean, you know, people were probably concerned when Breanna Stewart was leaving and UConn's dynasty was over.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, and by the way, this year, one of the best coaching jobs by Gino Auriemma.
Oh, fantastic.
And I don't care if you like him or hate him or aren't a big fan of Gino Auriemma. It doesn't matter. He's done a terrific job with this group, keeping them together and relying on role players to have to play significant roles. And here they are making it to yet another Final Four. But last night, Caitlin Clark, 41 points, 9 threes, 12 assists, 7 rebounds. Did a little bit of everything for Iowa in a win over LSU. And, quite honestly, LSU gave it a good fight. And they tried their heart out, but just didn't have enough to overcome what Caitlin Clark did. And even what other Iowa players did, so much of it was set up by Caitlin Clark. And the fact that defense has to focus extra on Clark. Clark is able to master the way she sees the court and is able to get it to players and scoring opportunities. In fact, she would have had another assist. She had a great pass in that first half last night, and the gal missed the layup. I don't know if you saw it, where they had a cutter right through the middle of the lane, and she snapped a bounce pass that was perfect, and then they missed the layup. But it was just a terrific night for the Iowa star. We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back. We'll tell you what's on the radio coming up this week here on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6 for the Purdue Fortway Mastodons. It's Jermaine Coleman, a redshirt freshman out of Indianapolis. He has entered the transfer portal. Not a big surprise here, although, you know, you really hope that you can develop guys that are 6'7". And get them to where they're going to have a significant role with the basketball team, because 6'7 guys just don't fall off trees. And you've got a 6'7 wing, and that's really a valuable size to have in the Horizon League. But unfortunately, the development just didn't happen, and Jermaine Coleman is going to look for an opportunity elsewhere. He's entered the transfer portal. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Pacers got the win last night, but tough news on the injury front for the Indiana Pacers. Miles Turner dealing with, what is it, a dislocated finger?
Sprained.
Sprained finger.
Yes, sir.
And his status to be determined. Of course, you don't want injuries to hit you at this time of year with playoffs just a couple of weeks away. Pacers basketball coming up tomorrow night. You know, it's tonight. NIT. Go Trees. Go Sycamores.
Yeah, Indiana State. Let's go.
Let's rock the joint down at Hinkle as the Indiana State Sycamores try to get to the championship game of the NIT. Big thanks to our guests that appeared on today's show, including Sam King from the Lafayette Journal and Courier, and from the Tin Caps, broadcaster, media relations, John Nolan. We'll come back tomorrow, do it all over again, 4 to 6 with the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.